parts of next week's council meeting. First, I just want to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, and that the Whadjuk Noongar people, the custodians of this land for many years, that we now share responsibility for, and pay our respects to their elders past and present. And this meeting, like all of our briefing sessions, is recorded and live streamed for the benefit of our community members who aren't able to attend the meeting. We have a visitor, we have got Georgia from the City of Bayswater. Thank you for being here this evening. Attendances and apologies. We have Councillor Quinton, who is an apology this evening. No deputations. Any declarations of interest? No addresses by members of the public. So straight on to the reports. So the first report is 6.1, which is the JADA application for the proposed childcare centre on Railway Parade. Brian, is there anything you wanted to speak to on this to begin with?
Only it's thought because of issues of timing, it's not been possible to bring the report to the briefing session, so the report will come directly to council.
Are you able to know what the recommendation will be at this stage?
The recommendation is likely to be to approve the childcare centre. CEOs are the would be. In terms of future intentions, certainly for a JTAP. There needs to be a seriously entertaining planning document.
Brian, I can't hear you.
In terms of
for council to have any prospect of not supporting that, there needs to be a seriously entertained planning document, which really means an adopted local planning strategy and almost a new scheme on the minister's desk ready to be signed off. So my report has got to be based on the existing planning framework as it stands today, rather than any future. I am kind of inclined maybe to put a footnote on the approval, talking about the future opportunities, but that is just an advice to the applicant, saying you might be able to get a more intense development once we've finished our planning there.
Sorry. So that was my next question, because we've had some informal conversations about the potential of that site and, you know, potential better planning outcomes. Have you or any other planners had an opportunity to discuss with the applicants at this stage that there might be future possibilities that would be better than this option?
I think we've spoken about whether or not there's an alternative, possibly with the Department of Communities being involved, but
Residential development.
The position of the applicant is that they are ready to go with this proposal now.
And are they intending to come to the meeting to give a deputation at all?
They will be offered that opportunity.
Thank you.
Councillor
Wilson.
Thank you, Your Worship. Is this in the same vicinity or on the same land as the JDOP application that was recently done?
It's exactly the same weather. 22 apartments were originally approved, and then where an extension of time was more recently refused by the JTAP, mainly because the planning framework had changed in terms of the new multi-housing codes, part 2 dealing with multiple dwellings, and there had not been serious attempts to implement the
previous
proposal.
Sorry, Brian, Councillor Hamilton can't hear you. Do you want to swap sides so that you're closer?
Come and see here. Come grab a chair, because I've got about 5 more questions.
So to answer the question, it is the same site adjoining the bottle shop, the vacant bit of land there, where there was an approval for 22 apartments.
Previous approval?
Yes.
So are you able to explain to me or differentiate between the two applications and explain the reasons why the other application was rejected by JDAP, but this one would be more likely to be approved. What's the relevant differences?
There's a new, like, part 2 to the codes dealing with multiple dwellings, which calls for a fundamental redesign, and it was based on an approval under the previous codes where the design requirements were less onerous than the new requirements.
So it's the design WA that
yes.
Yeah.
And so is it just that those requirements don't apply to an application for a childcare centre?
Yes.
That's the only reason.
Yes.
Right, thanks very much.
Any other questions at this point?
Will we get that report on Friday?
Yes.
Okay. So will you be available on Monday for questions, to answer questions? Because obviously if we're coming to a decision on Tuesday, I would like to have as much discussion.
Yes, I'll be available on Monday.
Okay.
Anything else?
One further question. I appreciate that we're currently in a caretaker period and a new council will be elected very shortly and may have different views, but there has been some discussion today about possible uses for that block of land. And I know there's possibilities for spot amendments, but is it the case they have to be drawn up? It's not enough to have a declaration of intent by a council.
Yeah, it would need, I think, for the JDUP, it needs to be a seriously entertained planning document, which would either be a scheme amendment on the minister's desk, the local planning strategy, and new scheme.
Thanks very much.
You right, Kat?
Thank you.
Okay, 6.2, it's the grant application for Carols by Candlelight at Bassendean Oval. Councillor Gandil.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just wondering, this is an item that comes back consistently year in, year out. Has there been actually any thought to with these sort of items, because the funding's been approved consistently, has there been any consideration to actually making it a 5-year commitment or something like that along those lines, so it doesn't actually have to come back to council every single year basically for the same outcome?
Certainly something that we can have a look at.
Okay, thank you.
I note in the application that they are going to follow the plastic-free guidelines for vendors. There's nothing in there about being balloon-free. I was wondering if that is a potential request that we could make of them to have the event balloon-free.
Certainly.
I've never known balloons to be at Carols by Candlelight.
And they kill birds.
I know, but I've never known balloons to be at Carols by Candlelight.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess what Councillor Palmer is saying is, in general, we might want to consider that as part of our event requirements.
So, further to that, I'm not familiar with the way the event's planned to be run this year, but in previous years they've had plastic disposable imitation candles. It's a safer option than having lots of fire around. But would a plastic ban impact on the use of...
No, because they're reusable.
So there was a reference to glow sticks as single use.
Batteries in them.
Yeah.
They're reusable.
I've got mine from about the last 5 years.
Okay. So there's a possibility for council to make it clear that it doesn't apply to that particular item?
I think we can incorporate that. We usually have a letter of agreement with the... whoever's hosting the event, and we can specify that in those provisions.
Everyone else happy? Okay, 6.3, this is the dates for the meetings next year and citizenship ceremonies. I just had a question about... Oh, sorry. You can go first, Councillor Bedrill.
Thank you, Your Worship. Okay, now... My questions are in relation to the briefing sessions. That has been noted that we have resolved to move them around the town. I was just wondering what notification and in what form and in what time frame will people be given about the location of the briefing sessions?
So we've actually written to all the primary schools.
Madam CEO, I'm not talking about the location, I'm talking about members of the public, so people know where the briefing sessions will be held, what notification, what time frame.
November will be advertised the Monday after the election, so there will be 3+ weeks notice given, and that will be held at the Ashfield Senior Centre, and a barbecue will be provided by the Ashfield Sports Club before the briefing session. But they will always be advertised with a minimum of 3 weeks lead time. And as soon as we've locked in the venues, based on the letters that have been sent out, we can provide a calendar on our website of those venues. We're also trying wherever we can to try and align it to the agenda so that it's fit for purpose for the audience.
Yeah, and thank you. That leads me to my next question on that. Just currently the way we conduct and council actually resolved this as well. This new council resolved this. It's still the current council for this duration. Resolved that we not have question time on the briefing during the briefing sessions. Would that have to be a revocation motion that's done? Should we want to have question time at the briefing sessions from here on?
So the briefing sessions, as I understand, don't operate under standing orders.
But this council actually resolved not to have question time during the briefing sessions.
Well, that can continue on.
So then, I'm just wondering then the format, if we're going out during the briefing session, will there be no question time then for the public?
No. The intention is that there would be the ability for the community to ask questions.
But this council resolved with a briefing session there not to be any question time during a briefing session. So
yeah.
With what you're saying, how does that relate to the resolution that this council passed?
Did we not rescind that previous briefing? I'd have to go back and have a look at specifically what we did, but it wasn't what was it called? It was like a guideline for the briefing sessions, and recently we made some changes to that.
We did. I'd have to go back and have a look at that.
Yep.
So just, I'll take that.
Yeah, that's just flagging that.
Yeah.
So I just got one more question on that. And I just want, I think Councillor Wilson moved this amendment when we moved that we're going to go around the different locations, that it will also be filmed and streamed live?
No, I think that was actually one of the resolutions that was made when the proposal was put up to have the briefing sessions in the community. That we would do the recording, but wouldn't do the live web streaming.
Okay. Yep, recording. Okay. Thank you.
Councillor Hamilton and then Councillor Brown.
The ordinary council meetings. Just a couple of dates I've noticed. The 28th of April actually is the Anzac Day long weekend, which prevents councillors from receiving information from staff on either the Friday or the Monday before that OCM. So I think that might be a little bit limiting, but I'm just highlighting that as perhaps being problematic. The September, again, we have a public holiday on the 29th of, just before the 29th of September, Queen's Birthday, which again limits councillors' interaction with staff for information. But the one that I find intriguing is December meeting. We've got that on the 15th of December, which is only 3 weeks after the November meeting, which doesn't give much time for staff to prepare reports for the final meeting of the year. And then in theory, if we don't have another meeting until February, the end of February, we're looking at a 10-week break between the December and the February meeting, which seems a very long time between drinks, if we're drinkers. So I'm curious about these timelines, especially for the Christmas period between December and February, and whether it might have some flexibility to perhaps drop the December meeting to later in the month so that the break between December and February is not so great. I'm thinking of the work light as well that will hit in February.
The public holiday ones, could the problem with that be overcome by the agenda being given out on the Thursday instead of the Friday? So
yes.
There's still 2 days.
Yep.
Your question about December, you've got a question as well, Councillor Brown, relates to something I was going to ask about the comment in the report about January not having a meeting. I was more thinking about the coming January rather than the one in 2020 in the sense that we'll have a new council here that will have had one meeting in November and then one in December that will be fairly full on. Do you imagine if they don't have one until the end of February that it's going to be an extremely heavy agenda at the February meeting?
I wouldn't have imagined so. The other, I guess, big meeting we've got early February is the AGM as well. So there's a fair bit of preparation that goes into that too. And I'm also conscious that a number of staff take leave over the January period. So in terms of preparation of reports to contribute to a January meeting, I think it would probably end up being a very light meeting in any event.
Councillor Brown?
Thank you. Councillor, again, Jill's last question answered my question in respect of live streaming that's been overcome. Councillor Hamilton mentioned that the public holiday limits our opportunity to interact directly with staff. Mm. It's by way of clarification that the rules of engagement changed, so we have unfettered access to staff to ask questions. Previously, it was those questions had to go through the CEO and sanctioned by the mayor or some kind of relationship there. Now we seem to have this free-for-all where we can engage with staff. And it obviously adds to their time. This is a bit left field here, but the point was brought up by Councillor Hamilton. I just wanted to know for clarification, if the rules have changed that allow us to interact directly with any staff member we want, that haven't changed?
No, the Local Government Act has still not changed in that regard. There has been some revisions done to the policy in terms of communication between the administration and elected members to clarify that point. And it's anticipated that that revised policy will come to the November OCM for the new council to consider. Part of the new council's induction is also around an orientation of the legal framework, and it will also reference some of those policies, those controls, to try and help manage some of, I guess, the obligations, I guess, on elected members and administration.
Okay, thank you, because I've maintained that adherence to the rule where I don't engage with staff members directly. And I thought it was a very good rule, but I noticed that has loosened right off in the last 12 months or so. There's a lot of questions being asked outside that format. So I'm not going to be here, but I think it's important.
So you might have seen there were some draft policies that were circulated last week.
In the council bulletin. So the idea is that they'll be presented to the new council for consideration. So the policy around communication between elected members and staff is based on the model, the best practice model that Welga have put out.
Okay.
In relation to communications and social media, I think it was, there's been some further work done on that.
Mm.
I know Councillor Wilson provided some feedback on that. That has been taken on board. And so those two policies will come up at the November OCM.
Thank you very much.
I'd just like to seek to clarify my previous comments, Madam Mayor. Obviously, some of the staff write the reports, but when I'm asking questions, they are directed through the CEO. But if the CEO has no access to those staff because it's a public holiday, that was my concern. Okay?
So I think the suggestion raised by our Mayor in terms of providing those particular reports the day before, so you would still have the same amount of time available to ask any questions before a council meeting.
The only one is the Anzac Day one, where there's two holidays, the Friday and the Monday. So even if it was provided on the Thursday, if it was the Thursday evening, you still wouldn't have the time to ask your questions.
I guess as well we could ensure the intention is that reports don't come to the council meeting if they haven't been on the briefing agenda. So it could just be particularly strict on those months, that nothing that hasn't been discussed the week prior at the briefing session, something appears on the agenda for the LCM. Mm.
And I'll make provision within this report that where we do have public holidays, that we provide the reports earlier. And if we do have two public holidays, we'll make sure that councillors receive the reports on a Wednesday in the example of April.
Thank you.
I just had a couple more questions. I was wondering when, given this plan is to not start the OCMs until mid to late February, when would the intention be to commence concept workshops?
I'm actually putting together the corporate calendar for 2020 at the moment, so January is looking fairly sparse, but there are a number of concept workshops leading up to our final meeting in December. Mm-hmm. I'd actually have to have a look at that. So they'd probably
but significantly earlier than the OCM.
Yes.
The session.
Yes.
One other question, and it may be completely irrelevant, but just looking at the dates for the citizenship ceremonies, other than the Australia Day one, they're all on Wednesday evenings. I'm just wondering whether that's ever been a problem and whether there's a need to look at a different day in case for some reason people can't attend on Wednesdays, whether they're working or whatever. But it may be completely not a problem.
On the weekend or something?
Or even just another one.
How does that change it though? It's a Monday night or a Wednesday night?
We work every Wednesday night, and that's the only night that you've got citizenship ceremonies offered to you. It might be a problem. As I said, it might be completely insignificant, but I thought I'd just ask the staff who arrange these because they might find they have people that would like to have a bit more flexibility. Did you have a question?
I did. Thank you, Your Worship. So one of the reasons that we split the council meeting into a separate briefing session was to facilitate greater time to go into deputations on matters, and if we're going out into the community, I imagine that creates an opportunity to have more community members make deputations on items. The deputations are very useful because it allows us to ask questions of the person instead of it just being a static one-way exchange of information. Is it possible, maybe, that we have a bit of a 30-second video that sort of explains, hey, one of the things you can do at these briefing sessions is make a deputation, it lets you talk to council, lets the council answer your questions as a part of the social media?
Great idea. Anything else? Anything else? Okay, excellent. 6.4, CEO 12-month highlights report. Do you want to speak to us at all?
Unless anyone has any questions. Just highlights, I guess, some of the things that have been happening probably more internally from a, transformational perspective in regards to the structure and some of the processes and systems that we're putting in place and positioning for a new council, but also positioning for the opportunity to create a new strategic community plan and create a very clear strategy and market position for the town, so we're very clear on, I guess, the space we want to occupy and the breadth and depth of services that council would like us to deliver. I just sort of feel as time has gone on, our breadth of provisioning of services has expanded and it's an opportunity to get a hold of our costs and also the space our community and council would like us to be in.
Any questions?
So just on page 10 of 19 of the agenda, there's mentioned there that on the 21st of October the new executive team will be fully established, and my question is, are you as happy about that as I am? I'm pretty happy to see that transformation.
Yes.
I was just wondering if you wanted to reflect on that point.
Yes, I'll do a little Toyota jump afterwards, but I'm very ecstatic. It's been a won't lie, it's been a challenging few months, but I feel like we're setting up some strong foundations for the future, and I think the new structure and the individuals that have been identified will really help set up the town in regards to where the council want to take the community, but also in reflection what the community is seeking. So, thank you.
That's my take on that.
Thank you for all your efforts. It's
I have a question.
Extensive. Councillor Hamilton.
Okay. On page 12, we've got that the bi-monthly publication Thrive. I was curious about that because originally I was under the impression that we were reducing the publication from bi-monthly, which was the old Bassendean Briefings, but we seem to have gone back to that. I thought from memory it was going to be five editions, not six, so am I wrong in that assumption?
I think we talked about every 2 months, and then potentially over the Christmas break we would not publish one, so it would end up being about five. But I know we did a special budget edition, which would probably make it about six over a year.
Okay. No, that's fine. It's just that, obviously, from a costing point of view, I was curious how that pans out with the original proposal that was put to us to make it just four or five a year.
So the intention was five a year. I think we just did a special one around our budget.
Okay.
Okay, everyone happy?
Yeah.
Okay, 6.6, building survey determinations. Sorry, 6.5. All good? 6.6, development services. All good? Councillor Hamilton? No? Okay, 7, no notices for the next meeting, no concrete business. And so that's it for tonight's briefing session. There's a couple of reports that will be on the agenda next week, which the CEO has informed me of. One is another event sponsorship application, and the other is the appointment of a consultant for the CEO performance review. And as mentioned a bit earlier, this is the last briefing session that will be in the chambers here. So as of November, so Tuesday the 19th, it will be in the community, with the first one being at the Ashfield Community Centre.
That's correct.
Right. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.